Well, amen. Again, thank you all for being here today. I'm so excited. All the things that are going on at this church. Today I just went around and took a few minutes instead of running around and doing my normal pastor thing of running around, you know, like I'm lost my mind. I'm trying to think of all the things I should be doing. I just got some time this morning just to walk around at the different Sunday school classes and just enjoy what God is doing. Seeing all the people from all different ages gathered together around a table with their Bibles open, teaching and receiving and talking about and praying about the everlasting Word of God. The Word of God who's alive and wants to work today in Sunday school, wants to work on your life today and in your life today. So let's get into the Word. Matthew chapter 14, if you want to turn there. We're going to pick up where we left off. We're going to backstep a few verses and overlap what we did last week. But I just had to go kind of a little bit into this story last week, if you remember. But the title of the sermon this week, if you're a note taker, at youth group on Wednesday night, we talked about journaling and we talked about how important it is to take notes. Because if you're like me, I could listen to all the sermons in the world all day long, but if I don't write it down by tomorrow, it never happened. And so sometimes it's important to take notes. And so if you want to take notes, whether it's me preaching or anybody else preaching, or you're listening to a sermon or you're in Sunday school, we have a place in the bulletin for you to do that. So I encourage you to use that, because if God is speaking to you, sometimes we need to go back to that place and say, what did God say to me that day? I should have wrote it down. And so the title of the sermon today, if you are a note taker, is this: Three Essentials to Be a Christ Follower. So today we're going to talk about, there's many things in this text. We're going to go through quite a few verses that we could talk about, but I really want to point out three essentials to be a Christ follower. In this scripture that we're going to read today, Jesus not only does a mighty miracle that we so often reference and we talk about, but he uses this opportunity and this miracle to teach his closest followers a few lessons on being in the ministry. So if you are a believer, if you are a Christian here today, you are in the ministry. So don't think I'm just talking to pastors and music ministers and all that, deacons here today. I'm talking about Christians, the saints, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And before we get started in this message today, I want us to remember these two things. Number one is this: if Jesus could do a mighty miracle, I'm going to let them pass by, because God laid this on my heart this week and I want you to hear it. And I believe God wants you to hear it. If Jesus could do a mighty miracle in around 70 AD, I think that's when, if there's any Bible scholars here, they could correct me, but when Matthew was recorded, when God inspired him to write these words down, if God can do a mighty miracle, then he can do it here today. Amen? If Jesus can do a mighty miracle when this was written, he can do one today. Can I get a testify? Can somebody testify with me this morning on that? Like, we're excited about that this morning. Can we get excited this morning and say, amen?
Amen.
Now we're doing something. Be here all day preaching if y'all keep that up. If Jesus wanted to teach his followers how to be an effective minister, he wants to teach us here today. Amen? So don't think that this is something that happened long ago. I just went to a men's conference yesterday and he quoted the scripture that Paul quoted. And he said what? He said, if the resurrection didn't happen, then everything I preach is useless. We serve a God who is alive today and on the throne. And he told his disciples, you will do greater things than I have done. So if he can do a miracle in 70 AD when he was here with his disciples, he wants to do it here today. If he can teach his disciples, if he wants to teach them how to be effective and prosperous ministers for the gospel and to go out and be soldiers for Christ, warriors for Christ, he can teach you here today. So instead of us focusing our attention on the miracle of feeding all these people, which is a great thing, we're going to focus on these three simple lessons that Jesus was teaching his disciples. And like I said, I believe he's teaching me and he's teaching you today. Number one is this: we must have compassion for other people. We have to see the needs of other people. We have to get outside of ourselves and we have to look around and look at what are the needs. We have to see the needs of the people. And then instead of just seeing the needs and to say, that's awful, we have to have compassion for them. Number two, we must accept our duty as Christ followers to be a minister and to go out and to do the work of the gospel, to be doers of the word and do what God's word tells us to do what Jesus himself told us to do. We must accept our duty to minister. And number three, we must trust Christ with all of our heart. We must trust Him with what He's given us. So no matter what gift, what talent, what spiritual things that He's revealed to you, or the gifts He gives you, if you can speak well, then you need to go speak for Christ. If you can sing well, then you go sing for Christ. If you can teach well, you go teach for Christ. If you can just communicate with people and just love people and cook them food, God bless you all that cook good food around here. Do it for the glory of God. Be an effective minister, and to trust that even when God lays something on your heart that doesn't make any sense of how it can happen, you say, God, if you've given me this gift, I'm going to trust you with it. And I'm going to do everything I can do to be an effective minister. So if you're a Christian that's here today, maybe you feel like God is calling you to serve in a new way. Stepping out of the boat. We're going to talk about that next week. Stepping out of that boat in that uncomfortable place, and God is calling you there. Maybe it just doesn't seem like it's possible. Maybe you're feeling led to surrender your entire life to the ministry and say, I'm ready just to surrender whatever God calls me and my family to do. We're going to walk away. We're going to do this, or we're going to do whatever it takes, and we're going to serve Christ. That seems radical. It's what God wants to do this morning. Or maybe you're not a Christian today. Maybe you think you never could be used by God. You've gone too far. You're too far. You're a lost cause. You don't know anything about church. You're just kind of dipping your toes in the water of this religious stuff. Or maybe you've been held back for serving Christ because you fear that you don't have what it takes. Well, God couldn't use me. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. And if you don't think that God uses people that don't think they have what it takes, go read about Moses. And see what God did with Moses. Read about all the people throughout the Bible that God uses. Either way, we can all benefit from these three essential things to be a Christ follower. We can all benefit from this lesson that Christ gives us today in this mighty miracle that He performs. Let's read Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to go from 13, even though it kind of overlaps. We're going to start right at 13, right at the top where it says Jesus feeds 5,000. And we're going to go all the way down to verse 21. The Word of God says this. As soon as Jesus heard the news. Now, if you recall, last week we talked about John the Baptist was executed. They cut his head off and served it on a platter. A disturbing way to die of a godly man. So Jesus had just heard the news of this. And He left on a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where He was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as He stepped off, as He stepped from the boat, and He had compassion on them, and He healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to Him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy some food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we only have a few loaves of bread and two fish," they answered. "Bring them here," He said. Then He told the people to sit in the grass. And Jesus took the five loaves and the two fish, and He looked up towards heaven, and He blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, He gave the bread to His disciples, who distributed it to all the people. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and the children. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your Word today. And we pray Your blessing upon our reading and our time in the Word, Lord, that it would not just be another time of us just hearing the same old story we've heard before, or we've read before, or maybe that's in the kids' bulletin, or that we heard in Sunday school when we were children, but Lord, that we would soak it in today, and that we would take in Your Word and what You want to bring to life from it in our life, so You can change us to be more like You and to have that life and that life more abundant. God, I just pray today that as we go through this passage, Lord, that chains would be broken today. Lord, that souls would be set free today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that people would break down those barriers and just let You work in their life and trust You so they could be effective, so that I can be effective minister for You and Christ followers for You. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, the first essential that we're going to start with today of being a Christ follower is this. We must see the people around us, and we must have compassion for others. We must have compassion. Let's look at verse 14. Let's look at verse 14 and 15 especially. Let's just look at that. It says, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and asked, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. You see, all real ministry. Now, some ministry ain't real ministry. All godly ministry, all biblical ministry, all ministry that starts from a prompting from the Holy Spirit or a calling from God starts with compassion. I don't care if you're a missionary, a pastor, a youth pastor, a music minister, a teacher, a worker in the church, whatever it is that you're doing for God, it has to start with this place of compassion. You see the needs of others. You see, God, those people need this, and I've got this gift, and let me use it for you. And what can I do? You have pity on them, and you're concerned for them. Therefore, you do something about it, and you help them. You see, this is the first essential, because just in verse 14 and 15, we see two very different versions of compassion displayed here in these verses. The first compassion we see is that of Jesus. So number one, we know it's perfect. And we know, spoiler alert, this is the one we want to follow, okay? The one that Jesus does. Jesus's compassion was very, very strong. It was perfect. His compassion caused him to stop and heal the sick. He poured his heart out for those people. Listen to me, church. Right after he received the news that John the Baptist had been beheaded, he stopped in the midst of all of that and he healed the sick. He had every right. Jesus had every right to tell those people, go away from me. I'm grieving right now. I just lost my friend, my godly friend. I just lost him. And he just got killed in this untimely death by this evil man. Go away from me. But he didn't do that. He had compassion on the people. See, Jesus was always observant. This morning, he's observant. No matter what else is going on in your life, no matter what else is going in the world, whatever, no matter what everybody else is dealing with and all the prayers that he's answering and he's receiving, he's observant. I think about the woman at the well. All the disciples wanted to do is like, man, I'm hungry. Jesus, we've been walking for a long ways. We're going to go get something to eat. And Jesus said, no, I don't need to eat. My food is doing the will of God who sent me here. And he went and he found that lady at the woman, that lady that was standing at the well who thought she was a lost cause and did a miracle in her life. That's what he wants to do today. He was observant to the point where he looked beyond himself. He looked beyond his needs and he had compassion on others. So many times. When I'm sad, when I'm having a bad week, when I'm beat down by the world, I've been going through a hard time, or I'm feeling sorry for myself. Am I the only one that ever goes through those little spells? God says to me, he says, Anthony, look around. Look beyond yourself. Get over yourself is basically what God is telling us this morning. But get over yourself and look around. And look at the needs of others. Have compassion on others. Why does he say to do that? Why does he tell me to do that? Why should we do that? Well, it's because that's what Jesus did. And he's our perfect example. Matthew 20, 28 says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus had real, real godly compassion. Then on the other hand, we have the disciples. Their idea of compassion was to send the people away so they could buy their own food. Hey, let's help these people out and let's send them out of here so they can buy their own food and we ain't got to deal with them, right? Their idea of compassion was to send the people away to buy their own food. This is what I love about the 12 of Jesus' closest followers. This is what I love about them. You know what I love about them? They're just like me. They're just like me. And I don't like to admit that sometimes, but it's the truth. And any of you that you know me, you know it's the truth. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. So they justified sending these people away by saying they should go eat. They're hungry. Let's send them away. It's in their best interest that they go on away to this village and get them something to eat. Jesus, let's send this away. But in the truth, they didn't really care about those people like Jesus did. They didn't care about those people like their heavenly Father cared for them. They didn't want to feed them. They were tired. They just got off a boat. They were most likely greatly discouraged about the news that they had heard of John. And they were probably thinking, is all this worth it? Are we really, what if this is us that's beheaded next? Or should we really be following Jesus, even though we've seen him do all these things? They were probably doubting. They just wanted to make the crowds disappear so they could go and rest or grieve or whatever they needed to do. You see, their problem was the same age-old problem that has enslaved people since the beginning of creation when we fell into sin. They could not see past their own desires, their own needs, long enough to have compassion on anybody else. Don't we do this so often, church? Come on, somebody. Don't we do this so often? We sulk and we pout and we look at our problems. We look at the things that we don't like in the church. We look at the things that we don't like at work and the things that's going on in our life. We complain about it, our needs that we think we need, our rich people problems that somebody always reminds me that I have, our discomforts in life. We complain about our job. We'll even complain about our spouse. I've never done that, by the way. When all the while, there are people all around us that are way worse off than we are. This is why Jesus took this opportunity to teach his followers of Christ, to teach his closest followers what real compassion looks like. Jesus didn't send them away and say, I'll help them later. Or right now I'm grieving, I'll help them later. No, he immediately met their needs. And that's what he'll do with you today. Did you know that? He will meet your need here today. He's never too busy for you. John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus says this. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvesting. But I say, wake up and look around. Jesus is telling us right now, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for the harvest. What he's saying, don't say I'll help them later. Don't say I'll go share the gospel later. Don't say I'll follow God's will later. He's saying, look, wake up. God wants to use you now. He wants to save your soul now. He wants to forgive your sin now. He wants to use you now. Galatians 6, 9 says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. God's telling us this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get tired of following Christ. Don't get tired of having compassion on others and doing things for God. We must see the needs of others and have compassion. Look at verse 16 and 17, these two short verses. This is what it says. But Jesus said, it isn't necessary. That isn't necessary. You feed them. So he's looking at his 12 disciples. He said, it's not necessary for you to send them away. You feed them. I've got you here for a purpose. You feed them. But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. I picture it like this. But we only have 5 loaves of bread, Jesus. I only have 2 fish. Don't we do that with God? But God, I can't do that. So here's the second essential that Christ is teaching his followers. He's teaching you and me today that we need to be a Christ follower. We must accept our duty to feed the people, to be a minister. We have to accept our duty as a Christ follower to minister. Now, I love these two verses because this is a perfect picture of exactly how God works, how he wants to work and how he will work if we allow him. Maybe you've heard it like this, and I read this in a book one time, and I'm not going to try to quote somebody, because every time I do, I quote the wrong person with the wrong quote. But I did read this somewhere. I didn't come up with this. It said, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And somebody needs to hear that this morning. God uses ordinary people all throughout the Bible to do extraordinary things. God will put a vision on my heart to do something here at this church, or maybe even to be a pastor of this church, and to do, and God is giving me visions of things and laying stuff on my heart that he wants us to do and wants me to do as a minister of the gospel. Places to go, people to meet, things to do. And I'm just like the disciples. I hit the ground running with every excuse in the book of why I can't do it. But God, I can't go on that overseas trip. I've got kids and children. I've got kids and a wife, and I can't do that. That doesn't make any sense. I know you're calling me to go on the next trip somewhere and to go out and spread the gospel all over the world, but or maybe somewhere local. I know you're calling me to do this or do that, but I've got a job, and I'll have to use my vacation leave and excuses. But God, I can't serve as a deacon, right? That's coming up. Somebody here is going to say that. Somebody's going to come to you, or you're going to go to somebody and say, I feel like God laid on my heart. You need to be serving as a deacon. You're already doing that. They're going to say, I'm not worthy. I can't do that. I don't know the Bible well enough. But God, I can't pastor that church. That doesn't make sense. I got a full-time job and I don't have seminary and that blah, 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 blah. But Jesus, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fish. How can we feed all those people? Can you now you relate where these disciples were here that day? What are you talking about? How in the world can we feed all these people? We got 1 little basket of food. What are we going to do? And if you're like me, so often we'll even try to make God prove himself to us before we'll do what he says. Well, God, if you really want me to do this, prove to me by this. So we start making a deal with God. And that's not, and you know what's really cool about God is sometimes he'll even do that. But that's not really how God works. He didn't tell, we're going to talk about it next week, he didn't tell Peter, hey, hop out the boat real quick, or let me throw this over here and I'll show you that I'm going to sustain you. No, he says, get out the boat. And he wants you to trust him and to say, God, I know this doesn't make sense, but here we go. I'm going to take a leap of faith. But the truth is this, God has always been faithful. Always been faithful. And he always will be faithful. Spoiler, I've, just like the pastor said yesterday, the preacher said yesterday at the conference, he said, I've read the end of the book. God is always faithful and he always will be faithful. Jesus is teaching us that it is their duty to give the resources and the abilities that we have, to give them to him, and that he will do the rest. Right? Not us. He will do the work. Philippians 4:13. We know this. We hear it all the time. We see it on bumper stickers, where I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right? So I can do all things through who, church? Christ, who gives me strength, who strengthens me. God wants us, Christ wants to strengthen you to do things that you never thought you could do. We're called to give it all up for Jesus. What did he tell people? He said, what? He said, leave everything you have and follow me. And to trust him to use what he's given us for his ministry and for his glory. I love when you really think about it like this. When the one who created the fish and the loaves of bread asks you to do something, okay? So think about that for a minute. The one that created everything we see in the heavens and the earth, who created your body, asks you to do something with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, which he created. Not having enough fish and bread is not a valid excuse. All right, so just let that sink in for a minute. That's not really a valid excuse. We have a duty to minister for Christ. Look at verse 18 through 21, and we're going to spend the majority of the rest of the time right here. And it says this, bring them here, he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up towards heaven and he blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to all the people. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. You know, it's funny when you study the word and when you go back and read it. A lot of times I think about this story and I say, man, God fed 5,000. Jesus fed 5,000 people. That's not what it says here. 5,000 men. In addition to all the women and children there. So it's more than 5,000 people that he fed that day. So here's the third lesson that we need to receive that the disciples learned this day about ministry, about following Christ, is this. We are called to trust Christ with what he has given us. Simply trust Christ with what he has given us. This is something that took me a long time to understand, and I'm still trying to understand it sometimes. In fact, as long as I live here on earth, as long as you live in this broken world with your sinful body and the way we are, living in the curse of sin and struggle with all those things, we will struggle with this. You see, Christ wants me to bring the resources that I have and simply lay them at his feet and say, God, everything I've got, I'm giving it to you today. Use it. Take it. Even though it's not much. It's 1 little simple basket. But God, I give it to you this morning. I give it to you and I'm going to trust you that you will take it. And we let him multiply it. And he takes it and makes it into something great. I want us to notice what's happening here in this passage. Christ did not meet the needs of those people until the disciples gave up their resources. Let that sink in for just a minute. Christ didn't do the miracle until his followers gave up what they had for him. This is how it works, being a disciple. We cannot do it alone without Christ, all right? We know that, right? Anybody that's any tried to do anything for the Lord, if I stood up here and tried to preach a sermon or pastor a church or do anything else I do without God, it's going to crumble and fall. We cannot do it alone without Christ. But what we also see in this passage is Christ will not do it without us. Now, can he do it without us? Absolutely. He's the King of Kings. He's God. He created everything. Of course he can do it without us. But he chooses to use you and me to accomplish his will here on earth. And that's something that is challenging, but it's also encouraging today. God wants to use you. He wants to use me to do his perfect will. He chooses to use your talents, your gifts, your possessions, your money, whatever it is that you have that you will come and you lay at his feet. He multiplies it and he uses it, just like he chose to use these 12 disciples. Just like he chose to use this little basket with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. In fact, no matter how much we have or how little we have, it's needed in the kingdom. It's needed in the church. It's needed for the gospel and the ministry and the call of God that he has upon our lives. It is needed. No matter how much you have or how little you have or how much little you think you have or how much you think you have, Jesus is showing us here that it's needed. And he'll take it and he'll multiply it. Remember the widow? Does anybody remember the widow who gave the 2 coins? She gave what she had and Christ used it. Not only did he use it for a lesson, but he used it. He saw her giving all that she had in that humble adoration. It wasn't about what she brought or how much she brought. It was about how she brought it. She brought it in humble adoration out of worship of the God of all gods, the only God there ever is and ever will be, the Alpha, the Omega. And she gave it. And Jesus saw it and considered her offering more than anybody else in the temple that day. Even the people that were making it obvious that they were throwing down $100 bills, writing those big checks, those 2 little coins meant more to God than everything else. When we simply trust Jesus to multiply what we offer in his service, this is where we'll see others being filled. This is where we see God smiling on our work, smiling on our offerings, smiling on our gifts and talents. When we just take what we've been given and we offer to him for his service. In fact, when we share what Christ gives with us, when we take that and we share it with others and whatever he's given to us, if we simply just say, God, I give it to you. Well, how can I use you? I trust you to take this little bit that you've given me to do great things. You know what he does? He doesn't just bless you. He fills everybody. He fills everyone. That's what he did in this story. That's what he did in this event. And there's always enough for everybody. In fact, in this scripture that we just read today, what was left over? There was so much left over. They didn't know what to do with it. Whatever we wholeheartedly share, church, God will multiply it and he'll take it. Ephesians 3:20 says this. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might even ask or think. See, the disciples got to see this firsthand that day. They got to see this play out right in front of them. They were able, through his mighty power working through them, to accomplish more than they could have even ever imagined or thought about could have happened. So if you're here today and you think that Christ could never use you or your talents and your gifts or whatever it is that's holding you back, or maybe you're here today and you're wondering how to give your talents and gifts to Christ for his work. Again, we just have to follow the example of our Savior, of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Surrender them to Christ is what we saw him to do. He said, surrender what you have to Christ for his purpose. Thank God, acknowledge that he's the source of the gifts and the power. So if we really stop and we acknowledge God, just like Jesus raised it up to heaven, he looked up to heaven, he said, thank you for this. If we acknowledge what God has given us and he's the resource of what we have, all of a sudden it's not ours anymore and it's his. What he does is he takes them and he uses them. Give all that you have to reach to those who are hungry, those who are lost, those who need the compassion, who need you to be their minister. This is where it's at, church. So as we close, I want to remind us of what we started with this morning. And I want to remind us today of what we started with. If you're a Christian here today, maybe you're feeling like God is calling you to serve him in a new direction, to step out into a new area, to do something that seems impossible. Maybe you're feeling led to surrender your entire life and your family to the work of Christ. Or maybe you're not a Christian here today. Maybe you've never received salvation. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about being sprinkled. I'm not talking about receiving a certificate because you became a certain age and all of a sudden now you're an adult and or you're a teenager or whatever. I'm talking about receiving Christ in your heart and saying, God, I acknowledge you. Jesus, I acknowledge you as my Savior and the only one that can forgive me of my sin. I want a relationship with you. So maybe you're not actually a Christian here today. Or maybe you feel like God could never use you or never accept you. Or maybe you've been held back by serving Christ because you fear that you don't have what it takes. Either way, Jesus gives us three simple essentials that we need. We must see others and recognize their needs and have compassion for them. We must accept our duty to minister to them. And we must trust Christ with what He's given us. That's what we saw that day. So remember this. Church, before we leave and call in and check off the box of another church service, if Jesus could do a mighty miracle in 70 AD when this was written, He can do a mighty miracle here today. Amen? If Jesus wanted to teach His followers how to be an effective minister in 70 AD, He wants to teach you and me today. Will you allow Him? Will you allow Him to do a miracle in your life today? Will you allow Him to do a miracle through your life today? Will you allow Him to teach you something new today? Break through that old hardened heart. Break through all the stuff that God is, that the world has piled up on you that God didn't intend for you to have. He wants to do a mighty miracle here today, church. In this church, on this corner, in this community, in this county, in this state, in this country. And it all starts in you. It all starts in me. Because that's what God does. He loves each one of us. He created each one of us individually. If you don't believe me, go read Psalm 139 this week. You are His unique creation. And it starts with each one of us. It starts with you. Will you allow God to do a miracle in and through your life today? Will you let Him teach you something new today about how to be an effective Christ follower? All we have to do is trust and obey. If God is calling you this morning, no matter what it is, if you need prayer, come as we sing.